From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Thursday morning Oxford Exxon podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We will talk to Texas A&M Athletics Director Ross Bjork coming up in about a half hour, 25 minutes or so, something like that, after this first segment. But we'll get going. We'll look at some lines. We'll talk a little football and more on the show brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You know about the free gas for your sweepstakes that is still ongoing through Halloween. You got another 2 weeks of that. 2 weeks on the dot. Today's the 17th. So use the Mobile Rewards Plus card. You know you should already have it. We've been telling you about that forever. So take advantage of that. Also, 8 gallons of gas. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought a little this morning. Got a few things going on, but all good. So use at least 8 gallons of gas when you fill up, and you will be automatically entered into that to get free gas for a year from any Blue Sky location and the Oxford Exxon, and coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for our friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you are looking for, and he'll send you a quote. Within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line, no hassle, no haggle, just get a quote, and you decide what you want to do with it. You can shop it around, of course, free to do that, or you can do what I've done several times now, and that's get into a Clark Ford. You'll love the product. You will absolutely love the service. Corey and the people at Clark Ford want to be your car guy. They want to be your truck guy. They will prove that to you once you make the call, 662-257-1900.
So we're gonna talk to Ross again. We got picks coming up today. There's a little news out of SEC. Well, not really news. There's a couple of things we can discuss out of SEC media days for basketball over the course of the week as well. As that's let's get going pretty soon. First game the night before New Mexico State. So a couple weeks away from New Mexico State, right?
Yes, that's
so
correct.
They play Arkansas State.
That is correct.
I'm telling you, I'm all off today. I don't know. I'm just. Not good.
You all right?
I'm fine. I didn't sleep very well.
Why is that?
Carly Ann's kind of doing some cough stuff.
Oh.
I did a lot of... It's really our trigger with her that it grates on you because we dealt with coughing for so long prior to her sinus surgery and the tonsils and the tubes and all the stuff that she's had done. So now any type of cough is just a trigger that just PTSD in a way to me. I can't seem to shake it, and she's... She's dealing with a little allergies. She's dealing with some acid reflux and, a lot of coughing at night. She won't cough all day long, and then at night.
I managed the Cubs in my sleep last night. We were having bullpen issues, though. It was very stressful trying to manage a bullpen. I don't know why, but we were trying. I was trying to get a.
How did that happen? What caused that?
I don't know. I was managing a Cubs game, and my starter got me through 5 1/3, and we were trying to. My bench coach was telling me that this guy was tired, and
sorry, I thought you said something else at first.
Bench coach.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
All right.
Head out of the gutter.
Thought you were really in a mood this morning.
No, I'm all good.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, probably in a better mood. We're going to get into other stuff, I promise, guys. I'm a little scatterbrained. Probably in a little better mood than the Yankees, because with that rain out yesterday, now they get Greinke, Verlander, Cole, the remainder of the series for the Astros. That thing completely reset the Astros rotation.
Yeah. The only thing is there's no off day.
And they get Tanaka at full rest. That's the one positive.
And if the Astros if they lose one of these games, or if they get down 3-2, and they probably won't, but Greinke's not good on the road sometimes. If they get to 3-2, they have to start throwing guys on short rest. Like, I think Houston's going to win the series, but I'm not prepared to count out the Astros. I mean, the Yankees.
I'm glad that's a truck passing and not a lawnmower. I was really worried for a second we were going to have some sort of yard work or something next door that was going to create some problems.
No, he does his own yard, I do my own yard. So
you're probably okay.
We're probably
at 8 o'clock
okay.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Just saying. So let's get into picks. Let's get into some lines this morning. We'll do that for the segment. Neil's picks, potentially entertaining for you guys this week.
I don't know what you mean.
You had a little liberty. Actually, not.
Go Flames.
Go Flames.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We're all coming off really good weeks this week from a pick standpoint. I love how this is actually really nice, how you can go under 500 overall, but three over 500 against the spread, like Mr. McCrady. 4-5 overall, 6-3 against the spread last week.
It's true, though. I did it.
7-2 for myself, 6-3 overall, 7-2 against the spread for Jeffrey, and then 6-3 for one Zach Berry for the season against the spread. Neil, 28-27. I'm 29-26. Jeffrey with a little bit of a lead at 32-23. And Zach at 29-26. A lot of podcasts up on the MPW Digital Network, by the way. We've got a beer garden.
It's really good.
Steven McRoberts this week.
Yeah, I know he's the volleyball coach, and we did talk some volleyball, but it wasn't a lot about volleyball. It was really more about growing as a coach and figuring out the league that you're in and changing the way that you do some of the things that you do. And it ended up being a really good podcast, I think. I think you will like it.
That is up, as well as a Soft Verbal, which is a mailbag edition, I'm pretty sure.
It's correct. Mailbag edition.
And then there is a Mind on My Money podcast that is
about cybersecurity and stuff. Pretty interesting stuff, yeah.
I almost screwed up and loaded the other one yesterday. I was really close to loading the wrong file yesterday.
The one with Corey?
Yeah. I mean, really close.
We did one with Corey Clark. It'll run next week.
Okay. So that's there, too. And that's not an infomercial for Clark Ford.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's about predatory lending.
Okay. Get into games. We started out with a picture of Boom on the website, I see.
Had a big win, Boom did.
Hugging his kid, maybe? Is that who that is?
I think that's his son, yeah.
Is that his son? Is that his wife next to him?
I believe so.
Is it?
Yes.
Number 9, Florida, -6 at South Carolina, 11 a.m. Central Time, ESPN. Potentially not a letdown, but some weird moods for both these teams. South Carolina coming off that Georgia win. Florida trying to regroup after the loss to LSU over the weekend. However, with Georgia's loss, Florida still controls its own destiny. I think it's an easy time to chill for them. I think they win and maybe win big in Columbia on Saturday.
Yeah, I went back and forth on this one. I ultimately took Florida and laid the points. South Carolina, it sort of feels like after Ole Miss beat Florida years ago, the next week
they lost to South Carolina.
The next week they were just kind of flat. They spent the whole week talking about beating Florida and then look up and you got to play a game. And that was an early game too.
And you're not – I mean – you are, but you're not. You're not playing for anything. So, you know what I mean? It's more likely to have a letdown than if it's, okay, this gives an opportunity for something. It does, but it's low stakes compared to, you know, say Florida, who they come off of it, and it's, hey, we're good. Just go win games. I mean, a lot of teams going to lose in Baton Rouge. That's not going to kill anybody.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Mullen can look his guys in the eye and say, we're still in the national title picture.
Because they are.
Now,
it's a lot to go their way,
well,
obviously.
They've got to run the table and win the SEC championship game. But
you can convince your kids.
Well, you can honestly tell them that we control our own destiny.
Right. Number 11, Auburn, -19. Such a huge line here. At Arkansas, 11 a.m. SEC Network for this one. Anna, I'm laying it. You're laying it. Jeffrey is laying it. Had to do a little math in my head.
Everybody's laying it.
Is laying it. Everybody taking the Tigers over the Hogs. Arkansas getting better, but I'm not sure they can score this week.
That's my thing. I'm just not positive they can put points on the board.
I don't think they score more than 14 points.
And Jeffrey makes a point here, and it's worth noting, Gus Malzahn typically does well against the Hogs.
He puts the hammer down.
He knows that is his fallback option.
So keep them impressed.
Because here's the thing. Everybody says, well, man, he's going to get $20-something million. Who cares? He cares. He wants to. That's why I'm telling you there's a deal to be done. Because he's willing to walk away from some money if he gets to keep coaching.
An SEC gig. It's not like you're...
No, it's a good gig. It's like people say, no one would take the Ole Miss job. Stop. It's an SEC job.
Pays a lot of money. It's in the SEC.
I mean, there's a long list of...
Every SEC job not named Vanderbilt's a top 25 job. Top 30 job.
Top.
Decide what you want to do with Kentucky. It's up to you. But
every job in the SEC West...
Oh, we definitely.
Is a top 25 national job.
Yes.
Money, facilities, exposure, etc.
Number two, LSU, speaking of the Tigers, 19.5 at Mississippi State, 2:30 p.m. on CBS. I was scrolling Twitter yesterday afternoon, and friend of the podcast, Matt Moscona, had Rohan Davey on yesterday, and they were discussing it, and said, how is Mississippi State going to keep this close? And Rohan simply said, they're not. I'm sorry, it wasn't Rohan. It was Matt Hayes from College Football Network.
Oh.
That's who it was.
I agree with Matt.
I agree with him. State looks really weird right now. They've got something going on, kind of like what their basketball team always does. We talked about that yesterday. LSU, meanwhile, rolling.
He's doing a great job.
They look better every week, to be honest.
They look better every week, and they look happy, and they look focused, and they look kind of locked in. They have a lot of fun. They're good. They're legitimately good. I think they're the best team in the country right now.
So 2:30 CBS for this one, and I think LSU wins by at least 3 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think State can stop them.
Frankly, as much as you made fun of it, it's one of the reasons I put a couple of 2:30 games on, because I don't think State and LSU is going to be – it will be if you're a fan of one of those teams or if you're locked in, but if you're my proverbial friend in Iowa, you're flipping. That game's over second quarter. You're looking for something else, and there are some options that I think are more entertaining football games.
One of those being right here. We've got it up. Number 12, Oregon, -3 at number 25, Washington, 2:30 ABC for this one. Pac-12 games earlier in the day kind of bother me. My Pac-12 is supposed to be at night.
Yep.
It's not palatable at 2:30 in the afternoon, but it's okay. We're managing.
ABC said, hey, we're paying for this.
We'll put it when we want to put it.
Here's what time you're going to play it.
ABC was really happy when they picked when CBS went with LSU and Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah.
Said, yes. Good.
I mean, if
go Tigers.
If I tell you can only watch one of these two games, which
you
one
want
are you
Oregon
watching?
Washington?
Yeah, it's one.
You feel good about the result of the other one. You know where that's going.
Well, it's a 19.5 point line. This is a 3-point line.
Herbert at Oregon, Jacob Eason at Washington.
Yeah,
it's
two ranked
fun.
Teams. Mississippi State's not.
Washington's
ranked.
Nowhere near the team we thought they might be going into the season.
Right, but they're good. Two good coaches.
I think Washington wins. Got it at home. I've got Washington straight up in this one. You've got Oregon covering the line. Jeffrey has Washington covering, Oregon winning, and then Zach has Oregon winning, rolling a little bit, winning by 10 over the Huskies. I know nothing about these teams, really, but I watched Oregon play Auburn,
and I've watched Washington
a couple times.
Yeah. I can't get the Cal game out of my mind with Washington, and I know that's not fair because it's been weeks. And
so you're fine getting rid of the Missouri-Wyoming game, but you're having a hard time getting rid of the Washington-Cal game.
Yep.
Humans are weird, right?
Yep, we are.
Okay. This is the one that bothered me. I don't know why we're picking American Conference games, but we are. Temple +7.5.
Well, Archie
at
Snooty.
Number seven. Not well. Speaking of SMU, at number 19, SMU 2:30, also ESPN2. And frankly, as much as I want to make fun, if I got to pick a game, I might pick this game. This has a chance to be that shootout weird thing here.
I know.
Temple's not as good away from home. We talked about that. Sonny Dykes got SMU rolling, got them ranked for the first time since before the death penalty. With the Pony Express back in the mid-'80s.
If they win this game,
they could run it.
They could end up playing in one of the big access bowls.
They've got to beat Temple, and they got to beat Memphis.
Yeah.
That's pretty much left on their schedule. And then whatever their championship game is, I don't know.
If they could win this
game. Are they in the same side or a different side with UCF? We don't know. Yeah.
Come on.
You're not up on your American Conference division.
Not even a little bit.
Okay. Fair enough. They're looking at me like, what are you doing? Well, you can all see. We have ESPN 8 now. Oh, yeah. We made the jokes. We have ESPN 8. You can see this. Anyway, I've got SMU winning 38-35. I took Temple to cover the spread on Saturday. You did as well. Jeffrey did as well. And Zach did as well. Nobody wants to lay more than a touchdown with the Mustangs.
Yeah, I don't know that I trust them that much. And Temple's good. They're not as good away from home and all that, but they're still good.
Number 22, Missouri, -21.5 at Vanderbilt, 3 p.m. SEC Network. All of us have the Tigers rolling over the listless Commodores this weekend.
No pulse.
Jeffrey and I with the exact same score. You with a very similar score. Zach with a fairly similar score. I think Missouri is scoring at least 40. I think they're doing whatever they want with Vanderbilt on Saturday.
They'll score until they're done scoring.
Yeah, seeing Vanderbilt in person made me completely disregard how I sort of thought they did a decent job against Georgia that first day. They got beat 30-6, but it felt okay, kind of. And then last week we watched UNLV just score and score and score and score.
I saw them in person the week before that, and I know what I saw.
Yeah, it's not been a...
There was no pulse.
No, there was not. Kentucky plus 25 at number 10 Georgia, 5 p.m. ESPN. Is it a little bit of a hangover for the Bulldogs, or do they get pissed off is the question.
I think they're pissed.
I think Kentucky keeps it just close enough.
I know you do.
Just close enough. Just a little bit.
I laid these 25 without giving much thought.
Did you really?
I did. I don't think Kentucky's good. I think Kentucky's hit the portion of the schedule where this season isn't going to be what they had hoped it would be. They know it. And they got to go down there, and Kirby's going to be pissed off. Some guys that are going to have to earn their – I mean, excuse me. Some guys
– earn their scholarship. Earn their the other S word. The other S word. Scholarship.
Some guys that are going to have to earn their scholarships.
Not salary.
I don't know why I was thinking salary there for a minute.
Well, you know, they get cost of living expenditures.
Right. And those guys are going to have to earn
those. Cost of attendance, I believe, is what it's
called.
They're
going to have to earn that this week.
They are. Texas A&M, the Colt, -6.5 at Ole Miss. Apologize to all our Texas A&M listeners. At Ole Miss, 6:30 SEC Network. I was curious what you used for the picture. Now I'm laughing as I see it. So,
I don't even remember.
You know, got a Jim Jones reference in here. I tell you what I did. I was doing picks. Give everybody a little inside baseball here that no one will find interesting. I was doing picks while I was waiting on Matt Luke yesterday for after practice interviews. So I was sitting there and I was listening to Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger talk. And he was writing something, and he was discussing kind of how he writes every week and what they ask of him, kind of some industry stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, here's the stat that he's been writing about. So if he has not already published this, I apologize, but I'm giving him pub so you can go find it if you're curious. Texas A&M throws 45% of their passes between 10 and 20 yards.
Okay.
And really across the middle of the field a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go deep. They don't go short. A lot of intermediate. That's a very high number compared to other teams. Okay.
Okay.
Ole Miss defending passes between 10 and 20 yards out of the 130 NCAA teams.
I'm going to guess they're bad.
130.
Are you serious?
Dead last in the NCAA defending passes between 10 and 20 yards. That stat could not leave my mind last night, because then I go, okay, well, if that's the case, A&M's going to score. Yes. Mind, especially in the first half with the linebacker issues, with Tisdale out, all this stuff, could have some room to run around a little bit. Ole Miss is really going to have to score. And they can score, but they're going to have to score. I've got A&M winning close-ish, but covering this line on Saturday.
Yeah, I've got A&M winning, but not covering it. I don't know why. It feels like this is – I'm sort of expecting them to play like their hair's on fire. Kind of the one last stand. They got the night game, beer sales, the whole shooting match. I sort of expect them to sort of lay their soul bare, if you will, a little bit. It feels like a big game. I don't know why. There's nothing really. I know it's people say, well, the bowl stuff and all that. I get it. And maybe that's what it is. It has a feel to it. Like
if you're going to get one, it's got to be right now.
Well, it also feels like momentum goes one way or the other. This week, you know, there's an open date. If they win, you have time to celebrate it, go recruit, go to Auburn for a free shot, because you still get New Mexico State.
Yeah,
that's a W.
So you're getting to five. You get the Egg Bowl opportunity.
Yes. If you lose, it's open date. I think people start to kind of get a little salty. Go to Auburn, get beat. And now to get there, you got to beat LSU, and you're not beating LSU unless LSU just falls apart. And that Egg Bowl's got a chance to be something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Last college game on our slate is Tennessee plus 34.5 at Alabama, 8 p.m. ESPN for this one. And
Jeffrey laid them. Nobody else did.
Yeah, it's just so many points.
So many points.
I know Tennessee's bad. I get it.
But they're getting better. Got to give credit where credit's
due. And Alabama's defense is not elite.
No,
you can score a little bit on them.
You can run on them some. And Tennessee can run the ball some.
So I kind of think they...
They're a little better since they switched quarterbacks.
Yeah, I just kind of think they figure it out, to be honest. I mean, they're not going to compete, don't get me wrong, but...
Well, you've got Alabama winning by 30. I've got them winning by 32.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be right in there.
Zach's got them winning by 27.
Yeah, it's going to be in there.
Jeffrey just says lay them.
Okay. He's just taking the better team and going with it.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. So we'll go to Ross in a second. We'll also hit these NFL games here in a bit, as well as we tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing in Oxford, the float down option. And with rates as low as they've been in about 2 years, good time to talk to Jason, 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We are also brought to you by Splinter Creek. It's a gated conservation community. It's located 8 miles south of Oxford, 75 minutes from the Memphis airport. If you're coming up this weekend, looking for something to do, thinking about moving to Oxford, thinking about retiring to Oxford one day. I know a lot of people do that as well. SplinterCreekMS.com is a website you should check out. And then you should make a phone call, 601-898-2772. Schedule a tour with Tom Smith Land and Home Agents. It's hard for me to completely describe just how beautiful it is out at Splinter Creek. You should go check it out yourself. They've been featured in Garden and Gun, Architectural Digest, Southern Living. Again, go to that site, splintercreekms.com. Check out the land, the lakes, all of the amenities that are out there. Really would be a beautiful place to wake up each day, just 8 miles from Oxford. We're also brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans. If you want to schedule your private fitting with Blue Delta Jeans, they're in Birmingham today, actually in Mountain Brook. Send them an email, info, at bluedeltajeans.com. Book an appointment or a time for your private fitting. Ask about the Gino. They're pre-selling it right now. It's soft and comfortable. They got a great group of colors. The sewing begins on Halloween. So in 2 weeks, so don't miss the opportunity. Reserve your spot in this first run of the great new fabric line from Blue Delta Jeans. We're talking about picks. The picks are sponsored by Southern Craft Stove and Tap, located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. Southern Craft Stove and Tap places an emphasis on food and atmosphere, mixing the quality of fine dining with the come-as-you-are environment. Featuring 30 craft beers and offering a high-quality selection of cuisine and libations, Southern Craft Stove and Tap has you covered for any occasion. Join them for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, or have your favorites catered out. Catering orders placed online currently receive $25 off any order totaling $100 or more. So avoid the chaos of parking on the square. Head over and experience carefully crafted dishes with your favorite Southern ingredients. Southern Craft Stove and Tap, Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. We'll be doing our live post-game show on Saturday night, and I'll have some Southern Craft giveaways.
We forgot last week, to be honest.
There's a lot going on last week. We're a little calmer now.
Yeah.
We'll be a little more sober now. Not a lot more sober, but more sober. And so I'll remember.
Okay. Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. Premier lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, but a lot more as well, from custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces with paver patios. You can get forestry mulching and much more. The dream backyard, easier than you think. It's gomastercuts.com for a free quote, or 662-607-7773.
We're now joined by Texas A&M Athletics Director Ross Bjork. Ross, howdy. Welcome into the show.
Howdy, guys. How's it going? You got to get used to saying that. That's for sure. That's the first thing you learn at Texas A&M is how to say howdy.
So I'm
getting used to it day by day.
Let me ask you this. I know when Jimbo got the gig there, the band greeted him at the airport. It was a very festive scene. I did not see the footage of you formally arriving to the band or anything. Did that happen?
No. I think you celebrate athletic directors a little bit differently than you do head football coaches and basketball coaches. Buzz Williams had the band. Jimbo had the band. You know, we had fans and supporters. So it's been a great reception regardless of the band.
So in all seriousness, I mean, you mentioned the howdy thing. Yep. You know, the hand signals are big in Texas. You've got the yig'em thing. Do they have to teach you how to do that properly? I mean, is there an orientation? Kind of take me through how you sort of get ingrained in this thing.
You know, when I got named, you know, on a Thursday night and we were going to the SEC meetings, when I got to Destin on that Monday, I had a whole packet that was at the hotel of all the traditions, all the, you know, basically indoctrination of, hey, you have 1 week to prepare for your press conference, and here's all the things you need to know. And so, yeah, they are well organized here around traditions and, you know, sayings. And, you know, we don't cheer, we yell, right? We don't have alumni, we have former students. We don't have a fight song, we have the Aggie war hymn. So you got to get used to all those things. I've slipped up a few times and said alumni, you know, you got to correct yourself and say former students. So, yeah, you get used to all those things, and they do a good job of preparing you so you don't embarrass yourself. That's for sure.
Do you have to get an honorary class ring to be one of them?
No. You have to go to class. You got to get your degree in order to get that class ring. So no honorary class ring. That's for sure.
Okay.
That's a symbol of pride. So you got to go to class to get that.
Have you met Reveille?
I have.
Okay.
How's she? Reveille. Spent time with her. She's amazing. She's a great ambassador. I mean, it's really cool. It's so funny. When we went to Clemson, we got this note on Monday from Clemson saying, hey, we have a no live mascot policy at Death Valley, meaning you cannot bring Reveille. And, I mean, that went over, obviously, not very well here in College Station. And so I called my counterpart, and I said, hey, you know what? We have this beautiful mascot. She's got two handlers. She's well maintained. Like, we're not going to have any issues. We've got to be able to bring Reveille. And they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, we didn't realize all that. Of course you can bring Reveille. And I'm like, man, that would not have been good. My first road game as the athletic director, and I didn't, you know, secure a Reveille spot on the team plane, that would have been bad. So those are other duties as assigned as the athletic director here at Texas A&M.
So they wouldn't have allowed probably like Ralphie or Bevo or somebody that was a little bigger and more or whatever?
Yeah, and the reason they told me, they said, here's why we have the policy is because when we play South Carolina, we don't want whatever the Gamecock name is, we don't want the Gamecock, you know, coming onto our field. So that's why they have the policy. So they gave us an exception for Reveille.
I didn't even know South Carolina
so Reveille
had
liked
a...
me. I protected her.
So South Carolina has a live rooster they bring with them?
I guess.
Okay.
I guess they do.
It's like a scene from Bull Durham.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
So in all seriousness, this weekend you're headed back. It's going to be weird. I mean, what's sort of the emotions, kind of the thought process this quickly having to make kind of a return trip?
It is. You know, I don't know how to describe it, really. I don't know if it's, you know, strange, tough, emotional. It's probably a combination of all of those things. You know, honestly, look, you pour your heart and soul into a place, you know, for 7 years, and, you know, we were all in. We still love Oxford. We love our friends there. We love the things that we were able to accomplish, you know, there at Ole Miss, and you have friends and colleagues that you have tremendous amount of respect for, but now you're on the other side of it and you're going there, you know, as the competitor, if you will. So I really don't know what the emotion will be. It's mixed. It's tough. You know, I'm employed by Texas A&M, and we're ingrained here and getting used to all the things here in College Station, but you're going back to a place where your kids, you know, they have friends there, they have emotional connection there. You know, they love, you know, what we had in Oxford, and they miss it and they talk about it. And so now you're going back and it's like, oh, you know, you're wearing Texas A&M stuff, you know, and we're supporting the Aggies. So it'll be neat to see everybody. But, yeah, when it kicks off, I think it'll be a strange feeling for the Bjork family.
When you look back on your time at Ole Miss, what's the one – is there one or two things that stick out the most as proud accomplishments, and is there one or two things that stick out as sort of not things that necessarily you wish you had a do-over, but, you know, regrets, you wish maybe you would have been able to do it differently?
You know, I think there's a lot of things, you know, we accomplished. You know, you look at the physical, you know, landscape of the athletic complex, you know, and still things that we had in motion, you know, that are now coming to fruition, like the new track locker room complex. You know, we had talked about that for the last couple of years. The pavilion, super proud of the pavilion and all the improvements, you know, to the stadium and, again, the whole complex. You know, so you look at those physical things, but I think the one thing that I was tasked with, you know, when Dan Jones hired me, is he talked about a modern day athletic department, that we wanted somebody with vision to bring about a modern day athletic department in all facets, you know, financially, facilities, you know, attitude, you know, resources, you know, how we engage with fans, you know, donors. And I think we accomplished that. I really believe that we accomplished, you know, setting up a modern day athletic department and really, you know, changing the attitude about, you know, sort of that we are Ole Miss, you know, that's used in a negative way, you know, flipping that. You know, look, we had our challenges. Those are well documented, obviously. But I think just changing the mindset that Ole Miss, you know, can compete, you know, at the highest level, you know, I believe and I think it's felt that we accomplished that. Now, we had major setbacks. You know, we had people that violated our trust. You know, I guess, you know, one of the things maybe, hey, if we would have acted sooner, but we had information, we dealt with that information. If we would have known that we had a football staff member, you know, in our building, God, we would have dealt with that a lot sooner. But we didn't know that, you know. We weren't told that. We didn't discover that. So, yeah, you wish you would have had those things on the table to make quicker decisions. And then, you know, you go back to the whole sort of that January, February 2016 time frame. And, look, we had a lot of opinions around the table. You know, I wish we would have just released everything, you know, in black and white. But that was the strategy that legal counsel and advisors, you know, wanted us to take, was to protect the process, and we adhered to that. So, you know, those are some of the things that stick out, Neil, related to kind of what we did great and some of the things we wish we had back.
How much different is your time at Ole Miss if Dan Jones had stayed?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, Dan was dealing with a health issue. So we don't know exactly how that all would have played out. You know, he was getting better when all of that happened. You know, but I think one thing that I've seen here at A&M, you know, I'm the fourth athletic director here at A&M since 2012. And there is nothing that's better than continuity.
Yeah.
Now, you need good continuity, and you need to obviously produce and be successful. And I think those things were happening, you know, during that era. And so when you have uncertainty and you have change all the time and constant, and, you know, things are in flux and everybody's kind of looking over their shoulder, you know, that's not healthy. And so, look, would things have worked out different? Maybe, you know, if Dan had worked a few more years, but stability. So one of the things I'm preaching here is, man, we need stability and we need continuity and we need division and direction. And to me, you've got to have that, because that sets your culture and that helps you have success. So I would use that as an example of saying, yeah, I think things could have been different if there was more stability and more continuity.
Take a break in our talk with Ross to tell you about G&M Pharmacy and Tyson Drugs. With flu season quickly approaching, Tyson Drugs and G&M have flu vaccines available with a $0 copay on most insurance plans. No one has time to wait in line for the overworked pharmacist at the chain drugstore, so stop by one of their locally owned pharmacies. They have multiple pharmacists available dedicated to getting you in and out as quickly and painlessly as possible. That's Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs or G&M on South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222.
Chase mentioned earlier we have a Mind on My Money podcast that is up and available where you listen to podcasts. That is brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. They have clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotion. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. It's pintrust.com, P-I-N-N-trust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fee. Also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. It's a Marriott property, downtown Jackson. Highly recommend. It's a wonderful place. Home to Soul Spa, also home to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. Just a great place if you're needing a weekend getaway, perfect for that. If you're in Jackson for business or pleasure, perfect for that as well. Again, the Westin Jackson, downtown Jackson. It's a Marriott property where you can accrue and use your Marriott rewards points. And we're brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. No matter what kind of trip you're thinking about, if you want it to be memorable, if you want it to be one that creates a lifetime of unique memories, you need to get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. He also is a guy who's been doing traveling for four decades. He really knows how to put together a trip that you and your loved ones will always remember. All you have to do, give him some parameters, give him a budget. He'll give you options. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services either. Give him a call, 901-494-3387, or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
You're obviously pretty busy with your days, but did you sort of follow this Chancellor search from afar?
You know, I think, you know, whether it's Ole Miss or South Carolina or, you know, anything else, I think we all study these things and look at them from afar. Obviously, I'm you know, deeply connected to a lot of friends there. And so, yeah, you follow it, you care for people, you hope for the best, you know, for the institution. So, yeah, I followed it. I know, you know, I know all the players. I know, you know, board members. I know Glenn Boyce. I spent a lot of time with him. Talking about, you know, the attributes of what the chancellor position should be, obviously, when I was still there. And so you just hope for the best. You follow it. You hope for the best. And, you know, then you look at it and say, okay, if that happened here, how would we handle it? You know, and so those are all the things I think as a professional in college athletics or higher ed that you study these things and you follow them. You pay attention, especially within the conference.
Given what you know and given your meetings with him during the process before you left for Texas A&M, are you surprised at the result?
You know, I think if obviously, you know, I'm being candid and we all are here in the conversation, is that, you know, I think if Glenn was identified early on as a candidate, hey, he knows higher education, he knows, you know, Mississippi, he knows the IHL. We need stability, back to what I just talked about. We need stability. We need vision, continuity. I think people would have said, okay, that makes sense, you know. But the way the process played out, I think that just surprised everyone. And I think Glenn is a really good leader. I think he's a good person. He cares for Ole Miss. I had good dialogue with him about, look, athletics is an important part of the university. It's not the most important, but it's the most visible. And so I think he cares about athletics, and I think he's a good leader, and I hope it works out. I hope everybody can move forward. But, you know, the conversations I had with Glenn were, hey, we need leadership in that chancellor position. We need visible leadership. We need direction, and we need stability. And so am I surprised based on Glenn's credentials and his connections? You know, no, I'm not. But I think the process is what everybody's, you know, talking about.
So the number two thing on kind of the 10 profile items was someone who understands Mississippi, its culture, its region. Obviously, you had no prior connections to Mississippi when you were hired as Ole Miss athletic director. What, in from your experience, is that a big deal at all? Does it matter, or is it just a matter of getting the right people in the right jobs? I mean, how would you sort of interpret that as someone who's been a key player in it, that question being so high up that list?
You know, I mean, obviously that wasn't the case, you know, when I got hired.
Of course.
When I got hired, it was, hey, we need a professional in college athletics and somebody who has experience for what we're trying to build here at Ole Miss. You know, and then at A&M, obviously I didn't know how to say howdy, right? I didn't know gig'em. I didn't know all those things. You know, I think leadership is leadership. I think if you have the right people, you know, you can adapt and you can fit in and create the right kind of culture that fits the institution and the community. You know, I think if you ask, you know, friends or colleagues there in Oxford, you know, I people would say, hey, is Ross an Ole Miss guy? You know what? I don't know. But I know that he's providing leadership here at Ole Miss. You know, so to me, it's more about the leadership perspective and platform than necessarily, you know, where are you from? Either you're a good leader or you're not, and you're going to get things done, you know, based on your leadership.
Ole Miss is going to hire an athletics director at some point. I mean, I you know, here in the next month or two, I would assume, for the full-time position. What would be your advice to that guy when he's hired? What would you tell him at this point?
You know, I think just, you know, what I would say is you've got to build, you know, relationships. You've got to get to know people. You've got to, you know, really be visible. You know, I think in the community, I think that's what Ole Miss looks for in leadership. And then I think you've got to, make sure that, hey, there's still some work to be done, you know, to get through the challenges. We put together a financial plan, so, you know, execute that financial plan. And then it goes back to what I talked about, you know, have stable, you know, continuity of leadership. I think there's some great things in place. So what I would say is, you know, what build upon what's there. There's a great foundation, weather the storm, get through, you know, the financial situations, and just, you know, build the program and get to know the community, because people want that. They want to touch and feel the program there. And it's a small town that loves the university, loves athletics. And so I would say embrace all of those things as you, you know, get into that position and build the program.
This is going to come across as a loaded question, and I really don't mean it as one. So I'll say that it's
you never do that, Neil, right?
This one's actually not, because it's come up a couple times in some conversations I've had. So you're not going to be in the market for a football coach, barring something health-wise happening to your guy at the end of the season. But it's a look around the league, and it's certainly possible that some places could be making change, could be thinking about change. Just in general, as in the SEC, and you know all the presidents, you know all the ADs, in your opinion, does Hugh Freeze ever get an SEC coaching gig again?
You know, I wouldn't see it. As a head coach, I wouldn't see it. You know, again, I think just the sort of the collateral damage that was caused, I think people are always going to point back, you know, to that time frame. So now, does he become an assistant and then work his way up? You know, perhaps. But I think directly coming in as a head coach, I just don't see that happening in the foreseeable future at all, really. You know, I think he's in a good spot. I think it's a good fit for where he is, but I just don't see it. I don't see him, you know, being on the radar from that perspective.
You got Jimbo Fisher there, obviously, and he's making a ton of money. Being the expectation is to be a national contender. How close, in your opinion? I know you know you weren't there when he got hired, but you've been there for a little while. How close is Texas A&M to living up to, I guess, that expectation? In your opinion, how far away is Jimbo from building a program that can compete for a title?
You know, I think we're close, but yet we're still, you know, far enough away, right? Because you look at the conference, you know, you're playing against Alabama, who's had, what, 10 or 11 straight top five or the number one recruiting class. I think they've got 68 four- and five-star, you know, out of 85.
Yep, something like that.
You know, and the next closest person in college athletics, next closest program's like in the 50s, right? I mean, so they're way ahead. So you need four or five classes stacked up where you're in the top five or you're competing for that number one spot where you can legitimately say, we've got the depth. Now, could you have a game breaker? Could you have a Johnny Manziel that propels you as kind of a one-man show? Absolutely, that can happen. But, you know, we stacked a good class last year. This recruiting class is stacking up in the top five. You know, you're going to need three or four of those. So, you know, we're on the right track. I mean, you've got the resources, made a commitment. You know, Jimbo knows how to win at the highest level. I've been really impressed with the focus and all those things. I mean, we played two number one teams this year. We played Auburn, I think, when they were seventh. You know, so we played, you know, the toughest schedule you could play, and we're really close. We just need to play with confidence. And also Saturday at the Alabama game, one of the things that was one of the goals was keep momentum in recruiting. And we did that, you know, in the locker room after the game. Man, all the recruits that were there were just chomping at the bit, you know, to suit up, you know, for the Aggies. So there's momentum, you know, we got to continue to build it and see it, you know, on the field. But everyone feels real confident about where we are right now.
So kind of last thing here, getting completely off topic, what bourbons are a little more accessible in Texas than Mississippi? What are we finding out there?
You know what? I've only been here since July 1st. So I have not made that a priority, Chase.
Oh, come on.
You know,
come
I know you're
on.
Disappointed in hearing that.
You went on the way into the...
I have not made the
oh, that's just
bourbon chase a priority.
So you went to the...
I just haven't.
You went to the convenience store that everybody raves about, but you haven't had a time to find a package store. Come on, man.
Right. I go to Bucky's. Yeah. But I haven't had time to find the package store.
That's
you know what?
Disappointing.
I just haven't done it yet. I haven't got my routine yet. So I'm sourcing. I'm having conversations with people that say, okay, you're a bourbon guy. Where's your source? Where do you get, you know? So I'm working on it, Chase. I'm working on it. Give me a little more time.
It's very disappointing.
It's a results-based business,
is.
Ross.
I know it is.
It's a results-based business.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. I gotta step up my game here. Next time you guys have me on, maybe right. I'll have something new for you.
All right. Appreciate it, as always. Maybe we'll see you this weekend.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate the time.
Thanks to Ross for giving us a little bit of time this morning. We'll obviously back here this weekend, Texas A&M at Ole Miss. We're making his first return trip to Oxford since joining the Aggies. We'll continue the conversation one second. First, tell you about Visit Oxford. VisitOxfordMS.com/events is the place you find out what all's going on in town this week leading up to Ole Miss and A&M. Thacker Mountain Radio Hour tonight from 6 to 7:30 at Off Square Books. Tomorrow, live on the lawn from 11:30 to 1 at University Museum. Public double-decker bus tours at 3 and 4 o'clock tomorrow on the Oxford Square. You've got a pop-up shop at Wonder Bird Spirits tomorrow night. We've been there several times with Blue Delta from 5 to 9 and much more. Again, football, Ole Miss, and A&M on Saturday night. So bookmark it. Find out what's going on this week and every week with visitoxfordms.com/events.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Go in, tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's a big part of Savannah Square. It's a new 9-acre development, 0.7 mile from the Oxford downtown square. It's conveniently located east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. It has multiple homes in different stages of development right now. If you're coming up for the weekend for Square Jam, for the basketball, for the football game, whatever the case may be, all of the above, and you want to take a look at it, thinking about moving to Oxford, get in touch with Harry. It's SavannahSquareOxford.com or 662-801-5621.
So back to Neil's picks a little bit here. A couple games left that we were going to cover. NFL stuff that's been added in this week, I see. We've got Saints-Bears, 3:25 p.m., the Fox national game.
It's just
a
free shot for me because it's screwing with you, and often it leads to a free chance to make up a game.
The Saints win more than they lose, and he knows I never pick them.
You won't pick them because you're convinced that if you pick them that and then they lose, all your fault.
Well, and it's thing. If I win, I still get something either way.
Yeah.
And I want the Saints to win. I'll give up the loss. I don't care about this.
Right.
I mean, the worst is I have to go to Eastern Michigan at some point. So it's all good. But yes, I've picked Bears 24, Ole Miss, New Orleans 20.
So is that what we're going to do? The loser between you and me has to go. We had to do it the first week because the SEC tournament's the next week. So it's got to be that first week of championship week. Go to
It's basketball. We're doing basketball.
That makes the most sense, I think.
The only other option,
unless
if we didn't pick bowl season, we could send one of us to like a crappy conference championship game or something along those lines.
We could have
like a MAC title game or something. Although it's indoors, it's in Detroit.
To a horrible bowl game.
And that too.
We could send us to one of the just atrocious bowl games.
Where it's cold and miserable and no one's there.
And no one's there and you have to hold a sign and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thought.
We put that up for a poll.
Okay. We'll figure it out. You have the Saints winning 17-13. I've got Chicago winning 24-20. Jeffrey has the Bears winning and covering as well. And so does Zach. So you're the only one with the Saints this weekend. Chase Daniel, I guess, and Teddy B for New Orleans. Eagles Cowboys 7:20 on NBC, and looking here, you got Zach with the very bold move of picking a push on Neil's picks.
Well, so. They were having their their first child.
So we're going to give him a break.
We'll
text him and ask him which direction he would like to go there.
Yes.
He has picked Cowboys 26, Eagles 23, and that's a problem.
I'll just ask him, who do you have, Cowboys or Eagles?
Yeah.
I'll fix it for him.
Jeffrey Wright has Eagles 24-20. I have Philly 28-20, and you have Eagles 23-20. We're taking the better team.
I get the better quarterback.
And the points.
And the points.
Yes. You get the road team, though.
It's okay. I don't care.
Not worried about that.
Not particularly.
So I found this interesting. I put it on the message board at rebelgrove.com. You can go find it there. Looking for it now. I'm sure it's somewhere. I posted it, so it can't be too far down the thing. Yesterday at the SEC Media Day, Kyle Tucker of The Athletic, he asked four questions to every participant of teams that were there. So 28 different players were asked these four questions.
Okay.
He was asked, what's the hardest player to guard in the league?
Okay.
Who's the hardest player to score on in the league, the coach you'd like to play for other than your own, and the best arena in the SEC from a visiting standpoint.
Those
are four questions that he was asked.
Okay.
Little Ole Miss flavor here. Hardest to guard, the winner, Brian Tyree, with five votes, beating out Kerry Blackshear of Florida, who had four votes, and Javonte Smart of LSU, who had three votes. So he has Brian Tyree, the winner to that. A lot of other guys got votes. And then Tyree's quote to him, I'm a three-level scorer and I'm unpredictable, said Tyree, who averaged 17.9 points per game last season. I like to shoot, so I'll take a lot of shots from anywhere, really. And that's probably why I think I'm pretty hard to guard.
Kermit His mid-range Davis. Game is so good.
Kermit Davis then said his star is excellent and maybe the best mid-range jumper in college basketball. Skylar Mays said the biggest challenge in defending Tyree is you just can't catch your breath. He's always in attack mode. He just never takes his foot off the pedal.
He has a his game. Now he's not as big as Russell Westbrook. His game is similar to Westbrook's, and he's a better outside shooter than Westbrook is today. Very similar attack mode, can get to the rim, can do things at the rim, and
well, that was the comp early in his career. If he came back healthy, you know, he tore the ACL and had the whole thing, and they said, "Hey, again, don't go crazy." But that's what the game is resembling.
Yeah, his game resembles Westbrook's quite a bit. By the way, Carson left for school today with his Houston Rockets jacket on.
Did he really?
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
So he's flipped. What's he done?
He's still cheering for the Thunder. The Thunder were on last night. They played Memphis in an exhibition game, and he was still talking about the Thunder. But there's a love for Westbrook that I think is
really.
Oh yeah, he loves.
So he's
Russell.
Going player dependent.
He loves Russell. When Russell stayed in OKC. In the wake of the Durant thing.
That got a lot of points.
A lot of heartstrings. Very loyal to Russell. Yep.
There's some players on that Rockets roster you're not a big fan of. If he's doing that, yeah. we got a little issue here.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yep.
Okay.
It's kind of disappointing. Disappointing moment.
Is it a good looking jacket at least?
I'll show it to you. It is a good looking jacket.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. It is good looking.
While he's doing that, one clear winner here on hardest to score on, Ashton Hagans at Kentucky with nine votes.
I'll show the camera first. Okay. Everybody gets to see it.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah.
It's a good-looking jacket.
It's a big swoosh.
It is a big swoosh. Nike.
Nike's big on that swoosh on that
but
jacket.
But that swoosh was made in China.
Yeah. That's what I was just thinking. Not Hong Kong, though.
No. Wouldn't want that.
Coach you'd like to play for. What do you think here? Who got votes?
Bruce Pearl.
Bruce Pearl finished third in a tie for third with three votes.
Calipari?
He won seven votes. Okay. My pick would have been next. He finished second. Who I thought was going to win this poll?
Mike White.
Frank Martin. Calipari, seven votes. Martin, six votes. Pearl, three votes. Mike White, three votes. Some other guys getting one vote apiece or two votes apiece or something like that. Tyree with a quote here. He goes, this will probably sound like wow, but Frank Martin, I actually like that type of coaching. He's so energetic on the sidelines. I don't shy away from that. I've known Coach Martin my whole 4 years at Ole Miss, and he always tells me stuff about my game and gives me advice and encourages me every time he sees me. I'd love to play for him. That is his deal there.
I think he's one of those guys that gets a little misunderstood because all you see on the TV is him yelling at the players. I don't think you get to
There's
see
more to it than that.
I don't think you get to see how engaged he is in their lives.
Well, you know, he had really good comments for Shuler last year. You know, they had that. Was it Shuler? Yeah, it was Shuler.
Yeah, because Devontae's
kind of the back
from
and
there.
Forth and yeah. thing. Yeah, 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 yeah. They had the deal. I'm a little surprised here. I kind of expected the Pavilion to finish in the top four. It got votes, did not finish in the top four for best arena for opposing pool fans.
Rupp.
Second.
Okay.
Seven votes.
Yeah, because Rupp's cool.
Really one strange one here that I don't understand, and then three that I at least sort of get.
The one in Columbia is pretty cool.
Nope.
It didn't get a vote.
It got a vote.
Got a vote.
No, I'm sorry. It didn't even get a vote. No votes.
Did Auburn Arena? I don't know.
Finished fourth.
Okay.
Auburn.
What was first?
Thompson Bowling.
Why?
I have no idea. It's big and ugly.
Has no charm at all.
And then Bud Walton finished third. Which is kind of old now, though, frankly.
It is. It's still a pretty cool venue. It's a good place to watch a game. Sightlines are really good. They did a good job with that arena back in the day.
Kentucky's E.J. Montgomery. We couldn't hear each other. Couldn't hear Coach because it was that loud in there. He said of the Wildcats' 19-point loss in Knoxville last season. Everyone's going crazy. Everyone's against you, and you got to play your best to get a win there for sure. Let's see. And then some people pick Rupp, obviously. It's a loud thing. Everybody's talking about loud.
Sure.
And then the guy who picked Tyree Crump at Georgia mentioned Auburn because of the student section being a little more vulgar than some other places, and he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
That was it.
They do their research on players there.
Macklemore at Auburn, he finished with the Coliseum down at Alabama just because I like all seeing the fans disappointed when we walk out.
So that's where a good answer.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's all good.
It's all good. So anyway, that happened. It's going to be fun. Basketball season is going to be good. A lot of content, hopefully.
By the way, tomorrow, Ronnie Hamilton, Ole Miss assistant coach, will join us on the podcast. We'll talk some hoops. Square Jam tomorrow night. Basketball season getting closer. Deshaun Ruffin coming in for an official visit this weekend, and I don't really know what that means. I got to find out. To my guy who can score, he can score, but he's small.
Who?
Deshaun Ruffin.
Okay.
I don't know if it means anything. Matthew Morrell is visiting Texas this weekend. It's his final official visit. I think a decision is somewhat imminent. I still hear Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. I don't know. We'll see. So maybe this is them just kind of covering some bases, and maybe this is them just exploring all their options. I don't know.
With the rain out yesterday, you get ALCS Game 4, 7:08 Central Time tonight. Astros and Yankees, Houston up 2-1 in that series. Greinke going for the Astros. So just looking at schedule here a little bit, running through some different things. We had any line movement on Ole Miss at all?
I can look.
Or is it sitting? I got it. Is it sitting around 6.5 still?
Last I looked, it was still 6.5, but I have not looked at it in at least 36 hours.
Have you not? I can't see it's a game where tons of people are going to jump on it. There's no obvious thing here at all. Ole Miss has played pretty well at home. They've been fine.
Neither of these teams have beaten a good team, frankly. Now, their losses have been to Clemson and Auburn and Alabama.
Not much has moved at all in the money line, shifted a little bit. If you want to bet on A&M, you got to put up 225 to win 100. And if you want to win, you can bet 100 and win 205 with Ole Miss is the money line right now. But it's sitting at 6.5 on both sides. Best Ole Miss line, 6.5. Best A&M line, 6.5.
So it stayed there.
It is. Yeah. Minus 105, so even money, pick a line.
That line feels about right.
Odd Shark still picking 36-25 Aggies.
What's the reaction to 36-25 Aggies?
First, I don't know how they got there. I'd be curious to know how that score happened. But
what's the reaction to an 11-point Texas?
38-27.
Yeah, sure.
It's not good. It's not good at all, frankly. It takes a lot of life out of this is we kind of are broken records. We always talk about swing games and how one thing goes into the next. This is the ultimate swing game, barring an upset, for the rest of the season. Because it is. It is the calming influence if you win that you know you're going to have an opportunity the rest of the way.
Yep.
Every game going in the rest of the way other than New Mexico State is, hey, we can get there with a win today. We can accomplish a goal with a win today. We know the Egg Bowl is still sitting here. Going to be here. You lose, and that kind of goes away barring a pretty major upset. I mean, that you got to – look, they're not at a place to compete with LSU right now. They're – going to Auburn and winning will be very complicated. It's tough. This is the game. This is the one that they have to get.
I'll be honest, people People, for whatever reason, like some of the sausage making behind the scenes stuff. If Ole Miss loses Saturday, from a coverage standpoint, I really pivot to basketball, to more focus on
basketball.
To more focus on the athletics director thing, to kind of pushing for what's the timeline there. Some of that stuff.
What do you think is the timeline for the athletic director?
I think there starts to be movement next week.
Next week.
In terms of people getting talked to. And I don't know how many people. I don't know how. I mean, all jokes aside, how comprehensive of a search can you? Here's the thing. And I'm not trying to stir it up. I'm really not. But it's real. Today is October the 17th. If you want to have an AD in place in time, and this isn't about firing the football coach, but you have to decide at the end of a season, because there's a lot of funny optics here, right? Let's go through this. We got a few minutes.
Sure.
For all of the angst and stuff during the season, Mike Bianco came 8 innings from Omaha.
He did.
8 innings from Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
One game. If they win that last game in Fayetteville, they go to Omaha.
I think they had a lead in that game, in game three.
Okay.
Pretty sure like Greg Castor had a home run to lead off the game or something.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
His contract was not rolled over.
That is correct.
Okay. Kermit Davis went to the NCAA tournament in year one. His contract was obviously rolled over.
It was.
Someone has to make a decision at the end of this season. What do you do about Matt Luke's contract? Not even everybody keeps going. So you're saying they got to get 80 in time to decide whether to fire him or not. Well, not just that. Do you extend him? Do you not roll it over? Do you roll it over? Do you give him a raise? What do you do? What do you do about assistant coaches' contracts? All of that stuff. There's decisions to be made at the end of a football season. And if you're going to have someone in place in time to get anything resembling a feel for the lay of the land, you got to hurry up.
Do you think there, if you're an AD, put your AD cap on. Do you think there is a clear difference in how you would approach the contract rollovers and things pending sport and pending expectations? Or do you think there should be one clear defined goal across the athletic department? Because you get into some really strange optics when you don't roll over Mike Bianco for that. However, let's say Matt goes 5-7 and gets rolled over. Just straight hypothetical. I'm just playing the game a little right now.
That's a great question. I to this day don't understand the decision to not roll.
There's really strange expectations on all these programs right now. Every program has a very, and I get that. Look, you're going to be better than some than others. That's not what I'm saying. But it feels like some even meeting goals is different on how they're approaching things right now. And now it's disjointed. I mean, Ross Bjork made the decision on Matt Luke. Keith Carter made the decision on Mike Bianco. It's different humans. I have no idea what Keith Carter would do with Matt Luke in November.
If you don't roll over the football coach, you truly hamstring him on the recruiting trail.
And if you roll him over, you've got a huge salary issue, buyout issue. If you don't think he's going to succeed long term.
But if you don't think he's going to succeed long term.
That's why you say fire him.
And you're not
going to roll him over. And I don't mean mad. I mean just in general.
Yeah, coach. In general. If I'm the AD, my decision is never am I rolling over the contract.
You're always rolling over the contract.
My decision is am I firing the coach or not? And if I'm firing the coach, the moment that I fire him, it's on me at that moment. And that's why I'm saying this AD thing is critical. If you're going to do it, that you get somebody in soon. And listen, I don't want to put words in Ross Bjork's mouth. Those were a lot of platitudes right there. The answer was, yes, I was really surprised he got the job.
Yeah.
And so now you bring in a chancellor who really has no contacts. He just knows no one outside of Mississippi. So who's he hiring as his AD? Is he going to do something non-traditional? Because if you are, you got to get that moving.
Well, I mean, all jokes aside, I expect him to retain or hire an AD with some Ole Miss background to some level.
I do, too.
I do, too.
And I'm not 100% convinced that it's...
I'm not alluding to one specific name. Sorry, I'm not.
The only name out there that I've heard is John Hartwell.
Yeah.
And John obviously makes some sense. He's been at Ole Miss before. He's been the AD at Troy. He's now the AD at Utah State. He knows how to run an athletics department. And he's been in the SEC. Makes sense. Let's just hypothetically say, though, that you're bringing in John Hartwell. Okay?
Okay.
You want Hartwell on boots on the ground, what, November 10th?
Yeah.
At least give him 15, 16 days.
To gauge some temperature around this place.
To gauge the football temperature. Where's the program? And look, maybe this is easy. This isn't, people go, oh man, you got bloodlust. Nope, not at all. If they win Saturday and then, you know, go to Mississippi State and play well, even whether they win or lose. I mean, you know, it's just, you never make the decision. You asked me to put my AD hat on, so I'm putting it on. I don't make the decision based on nothing but wins and losses. Not right now. Where's the program going from a momentum standpoint? Does it have momentum? Is it stable? Where's recruiting? What does next season feel like? Those are all decisions. What's the money? I'd have to talk to the money people and say, mm-hmm. Where are we financially? Can we afford to make a change? And if you make a change, obviously the goal is that you hire someone better, which means that I'm hiring an established head coach from another program. And I'm going to have to pay. So do I have that money? Can I get that guy? Can I get that guy quickly? Because the early signing period is a game changer for coaching changes.
And this is related, but not part of the conversation that we're having. I don't know what the reasoning was. Ole Miss gave a lot of title raises yesterday. A lot of promotions
like 12
yesterday.
Of them.
In the athletics department. All kinds. Like, there's a lot of athletic directors in the athletics department yesterday. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I can pull it up because I saved it.
We were talking about it last night during media interviews. Nobody's really sure what's up. It seemed like a strange time and a strange climate for that right now. And maybe there's some logical answer. I don't know. No clue.
Our friend Tyler Siski got promoted to Associate Athletics Director for Player Personnel. Jennifer Saxon was elevated to Associate AD for Student Athlete Enhancement. Assistant AD for administration and assistant AD for academic enrichment, director of ticket operations, associate director for compliance. Brady Bramlett and Haley Gilliland were promoted or elevated, I should say. It's the word that the university uses, to associate directors of development / annual giving. Haley Pruitt has risen to the position of Associate Director for Athletics Finance. So, yeah, just a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. A lot of titles.
Yeah, I don't know the reason for that. But either way, that did happen. So, all right.
But you agree with me, right?
If you're
going to – you need to get somebody in
mm-hmm.
who can make those evaluations and those decisions. And because, listen – It was the weird part. I said it at the time. It was the weird part of not rolling Bianco over has nothing really to do with Mike, because obviously it hasn't affected his recruiting. I mean, they just put together a renowned
number
class.
Two class in the country, which now that's been done forever, but yes.
But, you know, what message does it send?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you'll hear Stephen McRoberts. If you listen to the Beer Garden, Stephen McRoberts says, hey, last year, not in so many words, but kind of told, hey, kind of feel like it's time to win. That's what, if I'm the AD, it's a very simple thing. If I'm the AD at Ole Miss, and I think it's safe to say that's never going to happen, my expectation is that we're winning in everything. We're committed to winning in everything. We're going to do what it takes to win in everything, and the expectation is going to be to do what it takes to win. And my job as an AD is to provide that support.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel like I've provided that support and we're not winning, we're going to make changes. We're going to win. The whole, well, we're going to handpick sports. I think that's crap. No, I'd want to win in everything. I want to put the people in place to win in everything and make that a commitment. Quit selling yourself short and go for it.
I agree.
I mean, and if I'm the AD, one of the questions I have is, And this would be something I'd be real skeptical of right now, and especially given the lay of the land. I'd have to look Glenn Boyce square in the eye and say, when I decide it's time to make a change, do I get to make that change? And when I decide that I'm ready to make a hire, it's my ass on the line. Do I get to hire my person, my guy, my woman, whoever the case may be? I want to be fully convinced that it's I'm the one making the hire. And then if, hey, I make a couple of bad hires and run a program into the ground, it's my ass.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're going to fire me, I don't want to get fired because of a decision you made.
Right.
This podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. No 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. They've got Kasasa. It's the absolute best cash checking account. They also have a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account that comes with fully interactive online banking. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And we are brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel shop, now with two locations in the Jackson area, in Ridgeland next to Fleet Feet, and the new location in Flowood next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's not a problem. You can visit them online, collegecornerstore.com, plus Facebook and Instagram. Don't waste your game day in Oxford stuck in traffic and long lines to get your gear. Stop by before you go. Staff will have you in and out and on your way. They've got you covered for all your tailgate and home gate needs. Largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. And through the month of October, mention Rebel Grove at checkout. Receive 15% off your entire purchase. You can also use it online. Just put Rebel Grove in the coupon tab at checkout to get the same discounts. CollegeCornerStore.com. Square Jam is this weekend, Friday night. Mm-hmm. It's free on the square. Tickets available, Ole Miss and Texas A&M on Saturday night, OleMissTix.com. It's where you can also get your men's and women's basketball season tickets. Soccer is tonight. Is that right? I need to pull that up. And then volleyball is Friday at 8 o'clock against Arkansas.
That's right.
Sunday at 1:30 against Texas A&M. And I am pretty sure, we had a minute for me to look it up. I'm pretty sure that Ole Miss soccer is tonight, but I'm going to make sure because I think they play Auburn. Been a lot going on. It's hard to keep up with everything.
I'm not aware of the soccer schedule.
So. Well, I'm pulling up the soccer schedule as we speak. Ole Miss soccer. What is tonight?
Today's the 17th.
Today is the 17th. Ole Miss plays Alabama at home tonight. 6 p.m. Okay. So take the family out, enjoy some Rebel soccer.
A lot of podcasts for you again. A Mind of My Money, a Beer Garden, a Soft Verbal, and then this one. Thanks to Ross for hanging out with us, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.